This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I do love that song.
Oh, I love that song.
Love, love, love. Max.
It's so sexy.
He's collabing there with Jonas Blue on Naked. He's got his own album coming out this Friday, though, and we actually have him on the program to promote. If you're not familiar with Max, so dope. Such a great artist. Huge supporter of the community. Has a baby on the way and an album.
Yep, absolutely.
So make sure you join in on the conversation Friday morning for that guest. Michaela, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, babe. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I heard you didn't sleep so good last night.
I didn't sleep last night. It was trash. It was one of those weird nights where you toss and turn. I went and worked out. So on Mondays, as you know, recently, Monday or Wednesday, I usually try to do a double workout at the gym. Because I feel like Monday's the good day to do it because I take the weekend off.
Right.
I eat all the things and drink all the things. And then Monday, I'm like, all right, I'll work out twice.
Right.
So I work out in the morning. And then I worked out last night at 6:45 p.m., which doesn't seem like it's that late. Except for we go to bed around 8 or 9. So I think I was just wide awake for
just hours. Just wired.
Could not fall asleep.
Well, you know, we've
for the
always,
life of me.
Well, I to your point, we go to bed pretty early because I need like a full 8 hours of sleep.
Same.
I love it. I need it. And we're going to talk about this hour, a particular article, that you may not need 8 hours of sleep. That may not be what you need. It may be making sure the hours you do get are super effective and you're not being disturbed. Which I thought was kind of interesting. Maybe you could live with 5 hours if
I couldn't.
Did
I would die.
Things.
I would get sick.
Yeah.
But I do know people who can live off of 4 or 5 hours a night, and that's it.
Yeah, that,
I'm
not
envious
me.
Of them.
Not me,
but
honey.
I do love my sleep time. I don't like it when my partner lies there on his phone though with a screen on at night. But that's a conversation for a different time.
Ugh, hate that.
Also, in about 15 minutes from right now, we've got a councilwoman from North Dakota. She went viral. The audio is so inspirational. There was some debate on whether or not they should be flying a pride flag in their hometown. And she has some very, very poignant thoughts.
Yes, she does.
On this. And she lets one local man know exactly how she feels about it. So we're going to share that with you in about 15 minutes. Make sure you tune in for that audio. It's really fantastic. Michaela Gordon.
Yeah.
Anything going on in the news? Anything happening in the world?
Oh, I suppose. More than 29 million people around the world have now been diagnosed with COVID-19, and the global death is about 925,000, only a few ominous steps away from a million. Now, the full weight of the pandemic has also set the world back by decades in areas like global vaccine coverage, according to a new report from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It has also pushed the extreme poverty rate up 7% in a matter of months, with 37 million people falling into dire financial straits and another 68 million dipping below the poverty line in lower middle income countries.
That's heartbreaking.
You know, it's so devastating. And to think it's pushed us back decades.
Well, Bill and Melinda Gates are worth billions of dollars. They could help some of those people.
They absolutely could. They also wanted to help find a vaccine. And I feel like you got to vaccine your kids first before you try to give us
also,
one.
Also, they should do that. And also, they fund Monsanto, which is problematic in and of itself, and killing people with crops. But whatever, Bill and Melinda.
Big deal.
Do what you do.
Big whoop. All right, another news. Joe Biden's campaign has assembled a large legal team to take on election issues. As the road to November continues to reveal new voting obstacles, already there are worries about mismatched signatures on absentee ballots. In North Carolina, about 2% of the 10,000 ballots mailed in the earliest days of voting were rejected because of some issue, including signature problems. That's not good. Voters in other states like Wisconsin are weary because some ballots that were tossed for similar reasons during primaries. Now, in Ohio, your hometown, A GOP-run state board has rejected a proposal to prepay postage for ballots, meaning citizens must produce their own stamps to vote. Meanwhile, leaders in both major parties are warning citizens about a postcard sent to all households by the U.S. Postal Service that contains inaccurate information about mail-in voting.
It's wild to me. It was easier to vote for you on American Idol 15 years ago than it is to vote for President of the United States.
And America still got it wrong.
We still can't. And also, think about this. And I trust elections. I trust the integrity of elections. I want to be very clear about that. But if you think about it, you vote no matter how you vote, whether you mail in, whether you vote in person, you really also don't know that your vote's being counted. You don't know what the process actually is.
Well, and now if people are getting U.S. Postal Service's postcards that are containing inaccurate information. I mean, come on. But how? I can't be too surprised. I mean, Carol Baskin was on Dancing with the Stars.
She danced I Have the Tiger last night.
Allegedly killing her husband. Eye of the Tiger.
That's what she danced to.
Big news. All right, guys. Well, in weather, it's going to be a high of 71 in New York, a high of 87 in Los Angeles, 102 in Vegas, 107 in Palm Springs, 93 in Houston, and 82 in Kansas City. Now, babe, hit us with a vibe of the day, please.
Keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow.
That's really great.
Yeah. Helen Keller, a little ironic.
A little ironic.
Is she blind?
Yeah.
And deaf? Both? Yeah. Wow, she's impressive.
She's very impressive. Much more than us on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I feel blind and deaf right now.
All right, you guys, well, coming up, a North Dakota councilwoman went off calling one man a bigot during the city council meeting. Find out why and why we think she's a legend. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I wish we had covered the story yesterday because I could really benefit from some of this information from this study of a couple thousand people who just came out about sleeping and sleep habits and what is actually necessary to maintain a healthy lifestyle when it comes to sleeping. I'm the type of guy who generally needs 8 hours of sleep every night.
Mm-hmm.
I can live off of 7. Once I start to dip down into the 6s, though, and below, if I do that once or twice, like in a row, I will get sick.
Yeah.
My immune system will shut down. I will get run down. I will have a cold. Every single time.
Every time.
My stepfather, though, I kid you not, can sleep 4 to 5 hours per night, wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed like nothing happened.
Todrick Hall, our very dear friend,
does not sleep.
He sleeps maybe 3 to 4 hours.
How?
When we were younger, he would sleep maybe 2 to 3 hours, and I'd go, Todrick, you gotta go to sleep. Now, granted, he doesn't drink caffeine, doesn't drink coffee, doesn't drink alcohol.
Nothing.
Doesn't do anything. So some of the times it was run off natural energy, but...
Oh, I've been in his place late night. I remember one time about 12:30 at night, he's like, let's make Rainbow Rice Krispie Treats.
Yeah, no,
and he sent somebody to the store and we're making them at 1 a.m. And I was like, I'm ready for bed.
But to his credit, I'll say this. I always felt like I needed 8 to 9 hours of sleep. I just do.
Oh, eight
That's
to nine.
Where I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I can get there too.
I love it. Mm-hmm. But I will say some of the things that affected my sleep, even, for example, last night. Last night, I went to the studio and started writing a new song with my producer, and we were there till probably like 10:30, and I went home, and I was so high off the energy of creating something, I could not go to sleep. I was just awake from feeling excited.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying?
I went to the gym last night. Like I said, I think I mentioned this earlier this morning. At 6:45 p.m. last night. I did a double workout yesterday. I did one during the day, one at night. I'm trying to like really get back into shape and like feel my best and live my best 40 life, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And one of the things on this list, though, that says you should not do right before you go to bed, besides eating a large meal or drinking caffeinated beverages, which those seem like obvious choices.
Of course.
Is exercise. You shouldn't exercise too close to bed.
People think it's going to wear you out.
Somehow, I'm 40 years old, and today is the day I learned that.
Yeah.
I was wide awake all night long. I was wired.
Well, here's something that is so gross to admit, but totally true. When I was in my late teens and early 20s, I used to smoke cigarettes, and I would get anxiety before it was time to go to sleep. Like, mm-hmm. I had really bad insomnia. And so I would have anxiety, and then I'd smoke a cigarette and think, okay, I'll be okay. actually smoking cigarettes lowers your sleep quality. And so you think if you have even like a glass of wine or have a couple drinks before bed, that that would also maybe help relax you. But the alcohol doesn't benefit you either, even if you get eight full hours of sleep.
They're obviously not talking about red wine, because I have one glass of red wine and I fall asleep
and
like a baby.
Like
every
a
single time. Well, we've got Dr. Ravi Izzola. We've got some audio from him talking about how sleeping is different for every single person. While one person might need 8 hours, another person might not.
The reason you often hear that 7 hours of sleep is the magic number of hours of sleep we need is based on a large number of studies that have looked at populations, and doesn't necessarily mean that every individual needs exactly 7 hours. Some people need less, some people may need more. The important thing is not just how much sleep, but it's the quality of sleep and how you feel after you've slept.
Okay, so let's talk about the quality of sleep, because one of the issues in my relationship as we celebrate our 8th anniversary today, which is super exciting.
Happy anniversary, babe.
You said it to me and I said it to my babe.
Yeah.
I'm your babe and he's my babe. is if my partner is on his phone before bed, it drives me crazy. And I actually had to say to him last night at one point, I rolled over and I said, I've been as kind as I can. Your phone has been on bright for too long. Turn it off or dim it for me, because I can't. And that is one thing I've had to be very cognizant of, is not being on my phone before bed. Some people, though, say that reading before sleeping is actually bad for them. And I like to read a book before
bed. See, I love to read. I also love to watch TV with Lisa. As you know, they go to sleep much later than we do. But that TV will keep me awake.
See,
whatever I'm watching, I'm
like
so invested.
That too. Mm-hmm. My mom and her husband, they go to bed with the TV on every night.
They say
and
it's not good.
No way would my TV ever be on when I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Not possible.
Listen, I hope these tips helped you. I know they helped me. Coming up, it is Tuesday and we're checking in. It's AJ Gibson's 8th anniversary. But how do you celebrate an anniversary during a pandemic?
Did you just say my full name?
Yeah, I did. I'm proud of you.
I love it.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
It's time for our checking in segment. Every day we set aside just a few minutes for our mental health, which is super important to us here at the Morning Beat. Want to remind you, though, that in less than an hour at 7:40 a.m. Pacific, 10:40 a.m. on the East Coast, we're having a discussion about Andrew Gillum. He's the former gubernatorial candidate from Florida who was caught in the scandal in the hotel room back in March. He was on the Tamron Hall show yesterday, came out as bisexual. We have some audio, and we also have some thoughts. The conversation was a bit problematic for us, and we're going to share those with you at 7:40 a.m. Pacific time. Michaela Gordon, how are you?
I'm good, babe. I'm feeling good. The question is, how are you? Because today's a big day for you.
It is. It's my anniversary.
It's your anniversary.
Yeah, it's our 8-year anniversary, which is funny because I told my mom last night, I reminded my parents their anniversaries yesterday, and then my younger brother and his wife, and then my partner and I, our anniversaries both today. We sort of made this day up, I think. We tried to track it down, the actual date we went on our first date years ago, and we figured it was probably around the 15th or the 14th, but we knew the 14th belonged to my parents, so we took this date. But yeah, I'm excited. We've been saying it's been 8 years for so long, though. My mom says, I thought it was 9 now.
I know.
I've been saying 8 since last year.
Listen, I do the same thing. It's now 5.5 for me and Lisa, and I'm already like, we've been together 6 years.
Yeah,
you round it.
1,000%. I remember one time my sister, she celebrated her 32nd birthday. For an entire year, she thought she was 32, and as it turns out, she was only 31.
Oh,
because she was in that same habit.
God.
So she was like, I was 32 for 2 years. I was never 31,
what's wrong
though.
With her?
Yeah.
Well, listen, on your 8th anniversary, it's traditional to, you know, in each year you can do it's the year of wood.
There's
or there's
things.
Mm-hmm. And this is your year of bronze and pottery. That would be the anniversary gift traditionally
bronze and
given.
Pottery.
Bronze and pottery.
Wait, when was the year of wood? I want to know about that. I feel like that's probably year
I
one.
I think 5.
Oh, no. Okay. Different.
5
different
is wood.
Kind of thing. Got it.
Oh,
got
shut
it.
Up.
I'm just saying. That first year's hot.
Here's the thing. What do you do when you're celebrating 8 years?
Yeah, I don't know. During a pandemic.
During a pandemic.
Is that in there? Because here's the thing. You asked me. You're like, you're going to your favorite restaurant tonight? Because I've taken you there. And I was like,
I love it.
We could either go to my favorite restaurant for 100 or 114th time, because we go all the time. Or we could try something new. We'll see. We'll probably end up at our favorite restaurant. Are you a habit guy, Justin? How long have you and Lauren been together?
We've been together 4 years now, starting last week.
Okay, so that's weird. Okay, here's the funny thing, though. So many of our friends that are married, have babies, have full families, are like, wait, you've been together 8 years and you're still just dating? You're not married yet?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to say something to be fair. I will say something.
Okay.
I'm 32 and the pressure is on. All my friends have children. As a woman,
yeah.
All of my friends have been pregnant already with like their fourth kid. They got married at 22. A lot of them, where we're from. But that it's not like that, one, in LA, and it's not like that necessarily in gay relationships. Lisa and I are working with a fertility clinic right now, and my friends said, oh, well, aren't you going to get married and do it the right way? I said, bitch, what's the right way? We're in 2020, exactly. And I don't need to listen to
what's
your
the right way,
ways.
Justin?
Well, no, you guys know, we were about to set a date for the wedding right before COVID hit. It was supposed to be this weekend.
Yeah, it was supposed to be in September. Yeah. That's right.
It was supposed to be this weekend. We were supposed to get married. You guys probably would have been there, and then we would have gone to Life is Beautiful the next weekend. It was all planned out. It was all perfect. Thanks,
COVID.
But
thanks,
also, 2020. In fairness, you guys also had baby Bennett before you guys got married.
Yeah, you were untraditional in that
way. No, and listen, and I say that with total love and support, because I feel like I'm so sick of these norms.
Oh, yeah.
That you have to do it this way and this
way. My mom tells me, I remember talking to my grandmother years ago before she passed away, and she said her biggest regret was probably raising her kids to think that you had to marry the first person you had sex with, mm-hmm. and that you had to do it in a certain order. Because my mom
had to marry before you had a baby.
Well, yes, because my mom married my dad, who, God love him, was a terrible part. He's been married four times, has a lot of kids.
Same
he was not the greatest
dad, yeah.
guy in his early years. And had my mom been raised differently, she's like, I never would have married the guy, but I thought I had to. So, and also my partner's 10 years younger, so I think it's bought me a little time on the ring thing and the kid thing. So,
but also, you know, Lisa told me the other day that she was really looking forward to propose this year. And then the pandemic hit. And,
oh, I had
a
whole plan for the spring.
Well, she got furloughed. So there was like not happening.
Yeah.
And we had to talk about, do we want to move forward still with, you know, at least for me, I'm 32. We have to figure it out
my
biological clock. No. I am. Listen, my eggs are considered senior eggs. Like, I would need to freeze now, even if we wanted to have a baby next year. That's a real thing. We'll talk more to the interesting fertility about it, but I'm tired of what I've learned in the pandemic is I'm not listening to anybody's rules. If I don't get married for another 10 years and we've got four babies,
let's go find a kid. The four of us can raise a kid together, because I would be great at being a 25%
parent. What is it? Four men and a baby. But I'm not a man. Four humans and a baby. Four adults and a baby. I'm not even an adult.
It's modern.
Okay. You know what? Here's what we're talking about. Coming up in the next hour, we have some really great stories for you. But seven signs of a bad friend. We cherish our friends, but sometimes they could be more toxic than we realize. We'll have that story coming up next.
Join us in 15 minutes, or stick around, because in 15 minutes, we're having a conversation about being a good friend. Are you being a good friend to your friends, and are your friends being a good friend to you?
Exactly.
We've got some telltale signs that maybe it's time to move on from a relationship, or maybe you're just kind of trash. Maybe you're a terrible friend. Maybe that's possible.
Maybe that's the problem.
You're a really great friend. You're a hype friend.
Thank you, but you know what, though, I've learned? I always wanted to be a really great friend, but I always had a lot of friends,
mm-hmm.
and then naturally you don't get to pay attention, so now I can absolutely count on one hand my tribe, and then I give them all of my attention, including you, and that way I can show up for my relationships.
I want to know who I bumped when I came back into your life and took.
You didn't bump anybody.
I took a large piece of the pie. Very quickly.
You took a large piece of the pie very quickly, but you didn't bump anybody, because I have very, at Lisa and my sister-in-law,
I get at least
count.
5 to 6 hours of your day.
You do. And then you get me later on, too.
Yeah, we text each other
except
all day
when
long.
I get mad at you when you don't check in on me on the weekends.
Oh, because I didn't call you this weekend?
It was like one time that you didn't, and I
was,
will never let it go.
Away on a vacation, and you were with your mm-hmm. family, all staying in your home, so I thought you needed some just alone time with your family.
I didn't need it.
You're like, I'm sick of my niece.
I didn't
she was
need
annoying.
It.
She's four. She asked a lot of questions.
Let me tell you something. She wanted to FaceTime yesterday, and she always likes to FaceTime when I drive, whatever. And so I said, hi, and she goes, hey, we're coming over. And I was like, you're not coming over. You're in Vegas now. Can't come over. And she was like, but we're coming over.
She doesn't understand how travel works yet.
At all.
Nope.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine just being her? You're like, I'm just going to go wherever I want.
Yeah. Well, we're having that conversation. We're going to tell you if you're a good friend or not in 15 minutes. So stick around for that. In the meantime, Michaela, how about some news on the beat?
All right, guys. Well, Apple will unveil some new versions of its older products today and potentially show off some new ones as well. One big difference, this will be the first Apple Apple product reveal in the iPhone era that won't be done before an adoring audience.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's crazy. Instead, the event will feature pre-recorded demos over a two-hour time frame. The company is expected to introduce updated iPads, Apple Watch editions, possibly AirPod over-the-ear headphones, and Apple's take on the Tile Bluetooth key finder. I have to say, and I think Emil is with me on this, I love still the over-the-ear.
So does he. And so does my little sister, the AirPods.
Yeah.
My little sister's the same way. I got them for her, and she goes running. She's like, they fall out of my ear. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't like them. I like it to go over the head. Lisa's obsessed with her AirPods.
I'm excited. I lost mine a month or two ago, my AirPods, which I love. I love the in-the-ear AirPods. But what this tells me is that the older versions are going to go on sale now.
Yay!
That's what happens when Apple releases new products.
Well, I'm wondering, do you watch the whole 2 hour?
I've never watched a thing in my life, but I do watch what comes out. The iPhone would not be released. They're not unveiling that probably till October. But there's also speculation that they're going to be doing VR goggles soon, which is probably the next sort of rage for Apple, which I have mixed emotions about.
I don't know.
I'm excited, but also I'm like, obviously, my cousin Lindy's and our friend Amy, who just celebrated her birthday this weekend. That's why we were out of town.
Yeah.
She was wearing VR goggles that my little nephews have one time, and she was supposed to go jump off of a plank virtually, and all of a sudden we heard a crash. She dove headfirst into their 60-inch TV and knocked it into the wall.
Listen, that's a real thing. I one time was underwater with sharks, and I had a panic attack. I had to take the virtual things off.
That's
too real. It's gotten too real. All right, let's get into a little weather. It's a high of 88 today in Miami, 69 in San Francisco. Oh, God, of course.
It's appropriate.
102, please. Come on. 102 in Phoenix, 80 in Seattle, and 78 in Atlanta. What's up, Emil?
Oh, yeah, that's his hometown.
Yeah.
Shout out to his sister, too.
It's your anniversary.
It's our anniversary, and his sister had surgery yesterday, and everything went well. She gets to go home today,
good.
So a lot of good news lately.
Well, thank God. All right, now give us a vibe of the day.
Keep your face to the sunshine, and you cannot see a shadow. Focus on the positive,
except
people.
Except when we're surrounded by wildfires, am I right?
There's that.
Okay. Coming up, we cherish our friends, but sometimes they could be more toxic than we realize. 7 signs your bestie might be the worst thing for you. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You lost your mind? What are you doing?
What am I doing? You know what? You wouldn't know, would you? Where have you been? You would have no idea. Let me fill you in, okay? Ever since you got engaged, everything's turned to shit.
You know what? This is supposed to be about my time. You have managed to ruin every event in my wedding. Thank you very much. You know what? Why can't you just be happy for me and then go home and talk behind my back later like a normal person?
That is pretty normal in my... and my experience.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids has to be one of the best comedies
for
of all
sure,
time.
For sure, if not my favorite, top 2 favorite comedies. It was so funny. And you know, most of it I read was improv.
Yes.
It wasn't even scripted. Those women were so funny.
Well, I'm curious to know, do you think Kristen Wiig's character in that scene, this is the scene where they're at the bridal shower that was thrown by Rose Byrne's character for Maya Rudolph's character. I can't think of all their names right now, but it's easier to say it this way. And Kristen Wiig goes berserk. But do you think she had a point? Was she actually being a good friend, or was she actually being a crappy friend in that moment?
I don't know. It's tough because I'm one of those friends that's very territorial. I'm not trying to say that's a good thing, but when you're my best friend, you're mine. And I don't like when other people like get all up in my best friend's space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've known from past experiences that my other best friends should be able to have other best friends. But inside, whenever they do something special for them, inside I'm like, that's my best friend.
How do you know? How do you judge if somebody's being a bad friend to you? And how do you know if you're being a bad friend to other people? Because I spent many years in my 20s and 30s feeling like I didn't have a ton of friends, when in actuality I did. I just wasn't really committing to a lot of the relationships the way that I probably should have. And I wasn't getting back what I thought I deserved.
I mean, here's what it is for me. It's a full-on consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the one thing that's kept my closest relationships intact is constantly keeping it even keel. Like, not, I love you, every once in a while, or like then dissing them every once in a while, really trying and making an effort. And actually, one of my best friends called me the other day and he said, hey, I'm pretty upset with you. I'd like to talk with you. And I was like, okay. Now, you could easily get defensive, right, mm-hmm. when they say that. And I breathed and I said, let me stay open-minded and let me give him, you know, the opportunity to speak. And he said, I love you, but I feel like I really haven't talked to you a lot during the pandemic. I understand we're going through a pandemic, but I'm also going through things. I feel like I've tried to call you. You don't answer. I don't want to see you because I'm afraid of COVID, but I do want to still check in and I have a lot of things going on. And I said, I'm really sorry. Let me just try differently. I'm willing and would love to try differently. And it was a good conversation. And after that, I've consistently tried to check in and he checks in with me.
Do you think that's a conversation you would have been able to have maybe in your mid-20s?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I probably would have shut it down
and
walked away.
I would have said, don't be my friend then.
I used to be that way too.
I'm also in a pandemic, so don't talk to me.
Well, do you have that friend who tends to always find a way to make the conversation about themselves?
Yeah.
Because I will say, I will be brutally honest, I've done that before, but it doesn't come, oftentimes it doesn't come from me out of a need to one-up anybody or to sound impressive to anybody. For me, I think in the past, it's really just come out of an insecurity of, oh, I want you to know that I'm also cool too, and that I can also accomplish things, that I'm not a loser because I think you're awesome. Because if I'm friends with somebody, it's because I think they're awesome.
You want to be a cool guy.
Of course, but then I tend, in the past especially, feel like not up to their level in some ways. So when I do talk about myself, and this is a good note for anybody, if a friend is talking about themselves too often, sometimes it's not about them being egotistical. It's just about them maybe feeling a little insecure or maybe a little bit like unseen or unheard in the relationship too, which is possible. But I'm not good at keeping friends like that in my life. Even though I've been that way, I'm not good at keeping them.
Well, here's the thing that I used to do a lot that I have to be careful of. Committing to plans, I already know I'm going to back out.
I'm terrible at that.
It's a big deal and it's not cool. And I know that when people then make plans with me and they bail out, sometimes I'm relieved actually. Sometimes I'm like, good, I don't want to go. But that was one of the biggest complaints from my friends. They would say, you say you're going to come and then you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what it showed them was they weren't a priority to me and I was flaky. So from my 20s to now, I've had to make a really conscious effort
to just
not
say
bail.
No now. Back in the day, I used to say yes to everything.
That's
because
okay.
I felt bad.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I'm like, well, of course I'll be there and support you. So at least that those few days of them feeling like I was going to show up maybe brought them some joy. And then at the end, I'm like, I can't. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Now I just say I don't want to go.
Well, here's other things you can check on. You're never the one to initiate plans or check in first. Make sure you do that.
That was my issue. Feeling like I was nobody's best friend, I was never anybody's first phone call.
Right. You want to be that.
Yes.
You constantly lean on your friends for emotional support, but they don't turn to you. If they're not turning to you, that's for a reason. You're not opening up. And the last one that's so important, you don't respect your friends' boundaries. You can be as thick as thieves. You still cannot cross your best friend's boundaries.
What's a boundary?
If I tell you, please don't come over without calling first, you don't get to come over.
See, I'm one of those people that just shows up.
I do too. That's actually not even
totally.
A boundary. I actually have very little boundaries. It's very easy to be my friend. But if I do give you one.
Plexiglass between us is the most.
I'm about to knock it out. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, after Andrew Gillum came out bisexual after his alleged scandal, it makes you wonder, is it appropriate to come out during a controversial time? We're talking about it. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
And to be very honest with you, when you didn't ask the question, you put it out there, is whether or not I identify as gay. And the answer is, I don't identify as gay, but I do identify as bisexual. And that is something that I have never shared publicly before.
That is a former gubernatorial candidate from Florida, Democrat Andrew Gillum, speaking with Tamron Hall yesterday on the season premiere of her show, The Tamron Hall Show, with his wife by his side. You know, he ran for governor of Florida, lost to Ron DeSantis by less than a half percentage back in 2018. And he goes on to say that apparently, you know, that led to him drinking a lot and sort of dealing with a lot of demons privately. And we all know the incident that went down in March. He was found in a hotel room after going to a wedding. He was found with an escort, a male escort, and then another gentleman. Not a whole lot of information, but the photos that came out from that hotel room were very graphic, very problematic. There was crystal meth involved. Mm-hmm. It's just,
it also
was a
looked
lot.
Like at one point he like defecated himself. Or
yes.
It was really.
There were bodily fluids on some of the sheets and on the floor. It was a lot. But his wife was there by his side during this interview with Tamron Hall, and he comes out as bisexual. And while I empathize with that, you know, coming out is a very different journey for every single person who's ever had to do it. And I can love and support that decision to be open about his bisexuality.
Mm.
Where I draw issue is using that as an excuse for this sort of behavior. It reminds me of Kevin Spacey. And it just stirs up some problems with me.
Well, listen, gay men are often looked as pedophiles. I mean, it's just what it is. Do you know what I'm saying? And oftentimes the Bible thumpers and the Christians will say that, you know, we're sick, we're twisted, we want to be with little boys or little girls. I mean, that's just what it is.
Sure.
And so when circumstances happen like this, I'm sorry that Andrew Gillum was fighting demons, but we all fight demons, you know? And if you're going to go, you know what politicians have to do. You know what your life has to be like. You know if you're going to go into a hotel room, you may get photographed. That doesn't, I feel like you said with Kevin Spacey, it actually angers me that he's taking the time to now come out as bisexual.
Yes.
Because also, being bisexual, the B is very silent. We've talked about that. No more silent than the T in LGBTQ, but bisexuals don't have a lot of representation. And oftentimes, by those same Christians, it looks as if they're just confused.
Yeah,
and
just
their cake and eat it too.
Picking and choosing. Yeah, and I'll be real honest. I've had issues with bisexuality in my past with friends. I'm like, come on, you're not really bisexual. In my younger years, I didn't understand it at all. And to be fair, I only understand it as much as a fully gay man can, because I'm gay as the day is long.
Right.
I'm 100% now, homosexual, but that's my understanding.
To be fair, I have dated men and I've dated women,
you have.
So I understand. I just think that exactly how you said, Kevin Spacey was in court for raping a
child.
Minor.
Anthony Rapp, yes.
Thinks that it's time to say, oh, well, I'm gay. Don't use us.
What I don't like happening is you use this label as a deflection, as a shield to protect you from somebody just so they can now empathize with you. I'm okay with you coming out as bisexual, and I can understand that probably did play a role in some of your decision making. However, this isn't the time to come out and use this as you go on your apology tour and you try to save your image and save your political career. I don't want you to use your sexuality as the reason. Now, his wife, like I said, she was right there by him the entire time, and she said basically, I'm going to paraphrase a bit, but she was saying how, you know, we don't want to talk about the incident in the hotel room because people feel like they can, once you're a politician, they have ownership over every part of your life and every single detail. And we don't feel that's something we need to talk about. He did go on to kind of briefly touch on the scandal a bit, though.
The truth is that, Tamron, everyone believes the absolute worst about that day. At this stage, I don't have anything else to have to conceal. I literally got broken down to my most bare place, to the place where I wasn't even sure that I wanted to live, not because of what I had done, but because of everything that was being said about me. What was most hurtful was this belief that I was somehow living a lie in my marriage and in my family.
Here's the thing. I hear what he has to say. I think what makes me just really mad, like you said as well, he was doing crystal meth. He was acting erratic.
He rented a male prostitute or an escort. Yeah. I
mean, yeah. Like that's just dealing with your demons. Don't bring that to the gay community who already has our own stress.
Yeah. Because guess what? I'm gay as the day is long and I don't do it. I've never done crystal meth. I've never rented an escort
that's
before.
That's what I'm saying. I have a lot going on. I didn't turn to drugs. Not that you can't, but don't blame that on us, and don't sit there with your wife and try to create
don't conflate
this
the two issues
relationship.
They don't go hand in hand.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm tired of that narrative that all of a sudden
too.
we're all pedophiles and drug addicts.
Absolutely.
And we can't handle our stuff because we're gay or bisexual or lesbian or whatever.
Well, this isn't going to support us very much either. Jerry Harris from Netflix's Cheer is under FBI investigation. Find out the shocking allegations against him coming up in What's Poppin'.
We've got some breaking news for you in just a few moments here in News on the Beat regarding the Breonna Taylor case in Kentucky. So stick around for that. But first, Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us and what's popping?
I'm very upset to report this news. We were so excited last year when Cheer came on Netflix. We even had Jerry Harris on the station. He was on Let's Go there. He came in studio. He was so fun.
He was sort of the breakout star. So lovable. Everybody just loves him to pieces.
Well, his Matt Talk was amazing. He did Matt Talk all around Entercom.
Yep, he lost a bunch of weight.
It was so fun.
Great inspirational story.
Yeah, so the problem here is now that news has just broken that the FBI has executed a search warrant and did at his home in Illinois on September 14th. And it is part of an investigation with allegations that Jerry Harris solicited nude photos and sex from minors. Now, apparently, the story goes that he was 19 and he was talking to two twin 13-year-old boys. And obviously, you can't be doing that. It's tough because I will say that if the ages were a little bit older, 13 to 14 or 14 and 14 and 17, you're essentially a freshman in high school and a senior in high school. And I dated seniors when I was a freshman in high school. And I'm not normalizing this by any means.
No way. Yeah.
And I do.
But
think
I hear what you're
13
saying.
And 19. I think you got to be 19 and they got to be 13.
Where you are in your life definitely matters, because when I was a senior in high school, my now partner would have been 8. So then that is very inappropriate. When you're 30 and 40 though, or 20 and 30, it's a very different story. And while I can empathize with the struggle of dealing with fame and sexuality as a queer black man and going through all of this on such a national level, to be sending that sort of content or asking for that sort of content from somebody in their 13, 14, 15 years old is just not acceptable.
And unfortunately, it seems they do have proof. The brothers Charlie and Sam and their mother Kristen spoke with an outlet where they were able to provide not only screenshots of text messages, but explicit photos. So it doesn't look like anyone's lying here. We'll continue keeping you updated. Since this story, Jerry Harris has deleted his Instagram and nobody from Cheer has spoken out quite yet. So we'll continue keeping you.
Well, it also is,
I'm very sad.
Reminds you of the importance of social media and how to communicate with people in a digital era. It's not acceptable, even if you're making a joke, to put something in print that is so inappropriate and ask for somebody to send you nude photos or things like that, even if you're kidding. Even if you're kidding.
Yeah,
and those sorts
tough.
Of things we used to kind of like look past, but you can't. Like, these are kids. You can't, and he's to some degree still a kid too, but technically he's an adult.
Yeah.
So it's just problematic for a lot of reasons.
It's awful.
I just hope that he learns from this and can do better.
We'll see. All right. Well, coming up, thank you. Thanks to What's Poppin'. It's brought to you by NAMI Orange County's Loud and Proud Virtual Music and Art Festival happening this Saturday, September 19th. For more information, go to namioc.org/loudproud. We'll have more information on that for you. But coming up, Doc Halligan joins us as we try and help adopt and foster pets from these awful wildfires. We also need to know how to integrate them within our own families. A lot of these animals don't understand how to be in new situations, and we'll talk about how to make them most comfortable coming up next.
Just a reminder, we have Dr. James Simmons joining us in our final hour, but right now there's a more pressing matter at hand. Breaking news coming out of Kentucky. Michaela Gordon, what do you have for us in News on the Beat?
So Louisville's metro government is expected to announce a substantial financial settlement today with the family of Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old black woman fatally shot by police in her apartment 6 months ago. The settlement is expected to be announced around at a 2 p.m. press conference at Mayor Greg Fisher's office with Taylor's family. The settlement amount has not been disclosed, but it is expected to dwarf the biggest payout previously made by police, according to a person knowledgeable about the details. In addition to the payment, the deal is expected to include several policing reforms, including a requirement that commanders approve all search warrants before they go to a judge. The grand jury would decide whether criminal charges should be filed against any of the three officers involved in her shooting. It was the death during March 13th. And this story is very interesting because I feel like for the past 6 months, we've continued to say her name, arrest the police, arrest the officers. There was even a story that came out that they went to Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend that's in prison. And they said, listen, if you just admit she was part of a drug ring, we'll let you go. Also, and he said, absolutely not.
Just a friendly reminder, even if she was a part of some drug cartel.
Well, first of all, she's dead.
Yeah, she was sleeping in her bed and shot 8 times. So the narrative always changes to, let's find something wrong with black people to justify. Cops still aren't supposed to murder them.
Yeah, but I'm saying after trying for 6 months to pin this on Breonna Taylor, they're finally now giving her some sort of settlement.
And I'm saying even if her ex-boyfriend said, yes, she was, they still cannot murder her.
No, that, they I mean, can't, that's, but that's, she but didn't
that's,
do that.
I know, but that's where the conversation always goes, and that's what's frustrating to me, is because as a nation, we always go there with black people getting killed. And even if that were the case, even if Eric Garner was selling cigarettes illegally on the street, even if Breonna Taylor was a drug lord, you still don't murder them.
Yeah, but it's important to say Breonna Taylor didn't do anything. Yes, even if she did, but she didn't, and I'm tired of people blaming black people.
I understand
we're
that, too.
We're on the same page.
We are on the same page.
But
it's just absurd.
I just don't like that they create this narrative over this beautiful woman who was working the front lines during a pandemic, and you're going to say she did something
and they
she
broke
didn't
into
do.
Her home. And the officer who was fired, who has not been charged, discharged his firearm 10 times. She was hit by 8 bullets.
Asleep.
And so my fear is that they're going to try to shut the family down with all this money and nothing. They're saying police reform. That's fine. Arrest the cops that killed her.
I want to ask
Put
you
them
a question.
In prison.
And maybe we can make this tomorrow or this week's question. Let's say your loved one was shot and killed in the comfort of their own home after working and being exhausted, did nothing wrong. Would there be an amount that you would settle for that would keep you quiet, or that you would stop fighting for the 3 officers to be arrested? Is there any amount of money that would make you feel better about the situation?
No. Would I take the money? Yes.
Yes.
Would I still fight for those officers to be fired for police reform? Yes.
Now, if the family has to sign paperwork that says we'll stop as long as we get the money, would you sign that paperwork?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
I couldn't. I feel like I would never be able to sleep again. On the flip side, you could take that money and do some good to help save other lives and put it into a fund. But, like, I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do it either. And unfortunately, I think they're going to be left in a position where they just have to. Because after 6 months, the police officers aren't getting arrested. We've watched one of the police officers walk freely around a grocery store. He was called out as being one of the officers that shot Breonna Taylor. And he said, sorry. Okay.
Well, also, they're in the state of Kentucky. I mean, things are very different. My family in Kentucky, a lot of family in Kentucky. It is, it's a different type of mentality there.
It is. I'll say this. I come from a family of police officers. We always preface with that so everyone understands I'm not biased. However, wrong is wrong.
Sure, of
course. She did nothing wrong. And it's devastating.
Guys, there's an important note to this. A Jefferson County grand jury may screen the criminal case as soon as this week. So the criminal charges may still be coming. So.
It is still. Because, well, the Attorney General of Kentucky says it's still a very, very much an open investigation. So hopefully that does something.
I hope so.
But the Attorney General of Kentucky is a black man. And he's come under a lot of fire for not doing more sooner. So, but listen, it's a tough situation. Luckily, they also do have a Democratic governor, which gives them a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more likely that something will be done on the state level.
But it's infuriating. It's been six months.
Of course it's infuriating.
March 13th.
Can you imagine
Come
being
on.
Her family?
Come on. She was so young. All right, well, let's get into a little weather. The high is, it's like tough to even do weather right now. High 80 in Seattle, 103 in Phoenix. It's going to be 102 in Palm Springs, 69 in San Francisco, 87 in Miami. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Keep your face to the sunshine and you cannot see a shadow.
You got it.
Try your best to stay positive, people.
All right. Well, coming up, Doc Halligan joins us to talk about adopting and fostering pets after wildfires and disaster and how to make sure that they acclimate towards your other pets and family members. We'll have that. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, unfortunately, we have to have this conversation as fires rage in 12 different states across the West Coast right now. California in particular getting hit very hardly. We thought we'd get Doc Halligan, our celebrity veterinarian, on the line to have a discussion about what to do for pets who have maybe lost their homes, been abandoned by their families. Doc, thank you so much for being here. It's so easy to think about human life and about property and things like that, air quality during this time.
Yes.
But what do we need to know in regard to animals?
Well, I'm actually doing a segment on KTLA this morning in an hour on air quality and how it affects the pets, because they're much more sensitive to the smoke. And so first and foremost, you always have to have an evacuation plan that includes your pets, because you can't leave them behind. Mm. If you leave them behind, the chances of that pet surviving are slim. So being prepared, how many times do I say it a lot, but it's so important. If you live in an area and you know who you are that could have earthquakes or hurricanes or fires, you have to have a disaster plan in place. That means if you're not home, you've already arranged with neighbors to take your pets. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you've thought the scenarios through ahead of time. You have that disaster bag ready with water, especially. Your pets are microchipped. They are all, including cats, wearing breakable collars with current ID tags. That's the simplest thing you can do that is inexpensive, so that if a fireman or somebody finds your pet, they can alert you that they have it. Because when I've been in disasters, and I've been in a lot, the problem we see is we find a pet and we don't know whose pet they are. Mm. They're not microchipped. Mm-hmm. They're not wearing a collar. So we can't reunite them. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say we're here with Doc Halligan, who we appreciate so much. I wanted to ask you a question, because when you finally flee from your home, let's say if it's on fire, maybe you need to stay at a family's house. And so in my case, I had my niece and nephew come stay with me this weekend. My dog has never met little kids. They're 4 and 10. And my dog seemed a little freaked out, like he wasn't really into it. How do you introduce now your dogs to new family members or friends that may be coming, especially if they're little kids?
Well, pets like routine. So you want to try to stick to their normal routine as much as possible. So that gives them a sense of control and security. So, you know, you have all these guests over. I just had my family down, right? They're from Oregon, and the same thing. My cats were like, so, but stick to the walks that you normally do. Have your guests give them their food, see? Mm. So they right away go, they're here, they're friend, not foe. They're feeding me. And they do acclimate, but I think the key is sticking to routine and not forcing it, talking to the people that are in your homes, and just teaching them that, you know, this is a scary thing for your pets, because they need routine in their life.
What about those pets whose routines have been disrupted? Maybe they have been left behind. Maybe they're not microchipped and they haven't been reunited with their families, but they need a temporary home, maybe a foster situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How can people help?
Well, call your vet. Vets take animals in. VCA, they actually have a program. Also, social media. I can't tell you how many times I've posted a picture and post. Sometimes these animals, when they go through disaster, they don't look the way they looked when the owners last saw them. So take several pictures, put any identifying marks that you see on them, and put it on social media. And just blast it everywhere. And that's such a great way now, because the shelters are not open. So they aren't the resource anymore. So I would say social media and call your vet, because we're here to help.
Oh, I love it.
That's amazing. Well, we appreciate you so much, Doc Halligan. If people want more information, I know you're going to be on KTLA this morning, but also I know that you have a podcast now. They can find everything at DocHalligan.com. But what is the name of the podcast? And if people have questions, how can they reach you?
It's Doc Halligan Unleashed with Joey Villani, and the link comes right up. And also my website, DocHalligan.com.
Also, if you're here in Southern California, catch her on KTLA this morning. Thank you so much, Doc Halligan.
We adore you.
Okay, be safe.
You too, Doc.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, I have had an amazing experience with California psychics since my grandma passed. I've had a lot of questions, and we're going to continue keeping you informed, especially with my own experience coming up next.
Coming up in the next hour here on The Morning Beat, we're joined by Dr. James Simmons. We're talking about super spreader events, as we see Trump had a rally this weekend in Las Vegas. We're also talking about the future of planes Could they reconfigure your flights, if I could say that three times, I'd get paid $1 million by no one. And will plexiglass become a normal seatmate on airplanes?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't really know how I feel about it, so we're going to talk to Dr. James. And if it sounds like it's something that's good for me, I probably still won't like it.
Yeah.
But, Michaela, you've been doing something really interesting lately. You've been working with California psychics. I know you had another reading. We previously talked about some comfort you found with your psychic advisor regarding your grandmother. Mm-hmm. What else have you guys talked about, though?
Well, I have to be honest. I was skeptical before, because I've really enjoyed psychics in the past. I've had a really good experience. But particularly with California psychics, I wanted to dive very deep. After losing my grandma, you know, grief comes in so many different forms, which I didn't realize. And one thing I noticed was it was starting to spill out into my own relationship with my partner of 5.5 years. And we were really starting to find ourselves distancing. I was pulling away from her. I was sort of acting out, if that makes sense. And so I wanted to know about our relationship. And really what my psychic advisor, Paige, said was, basically, you're all good. Like, it's okay. This is a part of grief. She's your girl. She's your partner. She's going to stay stable for you. And everything's going to be okay. It was very personal for me, so I don't want to share everything on air.
Ride the wave and don't overthink it.
It was. And really, that was sort of the reassurance that I needed, that I'm still okay. Everything's okay. She is my partner. And it brought me a lot more stability. I felt a lot more grounded. And I do suggest, you know, 2020 has been crazy. And if you're dealing with deaths also, besides losing your job, or maybe you're confined with your partner in 500 square feet like myself,
or just not sleeping that well because COVID has everybody all stressed out. I mean,
absolutely.
Some peace of mind is so, so important.
Peace of mind is so important. And I do suggest you go to californiapsychics.com. And here's what's amazing. You can download the free California Psychics app or use promo code Radio5 to get started today for only $1 per minute plus a $5 bonus. And my psychic advisor was amazing. But what they do at California Psychics, they give you a list of what your psychic advisor specializes in. And for me, Paige really checked all the boxes as far as being able to speak to my grandma, covering relationships, covering family, covering finances, what my life may look like in 5 years. And I like that they don't talk about death or divorce or anything negative. It stays very positive because nobody wants to hear that. You don't want to know your future is going to look.
We get enough negative
dreary.
All day, every day. We're inundated by the media and by everything around us. So it's nice to keep it positive.
Absolutely. And that's really what they did. They just reassured me that I'm in the right relationship for me because I do love my partner, but I'm grieving. And I needed to know that was okay. Mm. And that's what I got. So again, head on over to californiapsychics.com, use promo code Radio5, or download the free California Psychics app. Again, it's $1 to get started. And if you don't like it, that's okay. But my experience has been really amazing. I used them a few years ago, and it was the same experience. So I feel like the consistency is there. And I really needed that right now. I think we really do in this pandemic.
Hey, I did not see that coming.
You didn't, but California Psychics.
I'm not a psychic.
All right, coming up in What's Poppin', Paul Rudd has a very important message to millennials about wearing masks. And we've got the audio coming up in What's Poppin'.
It's been quite a week for the Avengers, Michaela Gordon. Chris Evans exposed himself on social media.
We
all got a glimpse of his manhood. And now Paul Rudd is coming out. Of course, he's Ant-Man. He's coming out now as a very proud millennial with a message for young voters and people who are not wearing masks. What do you got for us? What's popping?
Okay, so this is hysterical. I was in the studio last night. I'm getting ready to leave, and my producer goes, "Wait, you got to watch this. Paul Rudd is ridiculous." I said, "What is he doing?" Paul Rudd gives a full PSA urging millennials to wear masks during the pandemic. I will say this. Paul Rudd doesn't age. It's not a thing. He still looks the exact same age. But he teams up with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and it's hilarious. We have some of the audio. Let's take a listen to how he addresses the millennials.
Yo, what up, dudes? Paul Rudd here, actor and certified young person. A few days ago, I was talking on the iPhone with my homie, Governor Cuomo, and he's just going off about how us millennials need to wear masks because, get this, apparently a lot of COVID is transmitted by us millennials. No cap.
No cap.
I love the background music.
I know, it's hilarious. So he goes on to try to relate to these millennials as a millennial. We have more audio talking about wearing your masks.
So fam, let's real talk. Masks? They're totally beast. So slide that into your DMs and twitch it. Vibe check. Yes, queens like ourselves. We want to go to bars. We want to drink, hook up, do our TikToks. I get it. I'm not going to preach at you like some celebrity. Ugh. This is a combo where I talk and you shut up and wear your mask.
Did he throw a yas queens at us?
Yas queens like us want to go to the bar. He also pretends like he's on the phone with Billie Eilish. He puts a photo of Billie Eilish next to him, pretending like he's talking to Billie.
He tries to do all the cool millennial.
Hysterical. At one point, he does lose it, though. I don't know if we have the audio of him actually losing it. Do we have any more audio of him? So at the end, he goes, seriously, the millennials, wear your mask. It's not that hard. I shouldn't have to make it funny. It's science. It's just science. Wear your mask.
Yeah, what's science anymore?
And he did it. Listen, it was so funny, so entertaining. But more importantly, everyone is trying to remind people just to wear their masks. And I love him. I think Paul Rudd's so great. So if
he's
you have the opportunity, check that out.
My favorite.
My favorite, too.
Ever since Clueless.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but then he went on to do so many things that, again, he never aged on.
He's not aged.
Incredible. He doesn't age. Well, this What's Poppin' is brought to you by NAMI Orange County's Loud and Proud Virtual Music and Art Festival happening this Saturday, September 19th. For more information, go to namioc.org/loudproud. Now, coming up in our final hour, Dr. James is joining us to talk about super spreaders and also changing airplane designs. Will that help when it comes to traveling during this pandemic? We'll have more coming up next.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, we've got Dr. James Simmons talking about super spreader events and the future of flight. Are we going to see plexiglass dividers between all the seats on planes anytime soon? And if we do, will it make a difference? We're talking to Dr. James in 15 minutes, so stick around for that. Michaela Gordon, now here we have some new audio coming out from Bob Woodward in his interviews with Donald Trump in News on the Beat. What do you have for us?
Yeah, so it's really interesting as these stories just continue coming out. We're literally trying to keep you updated as much as possible. However, Bob Woodward appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last night, where he revealed new audio of President Trump that shocked Colbert. Last week, Woodward released audio recordings of conversations he had with Trump for his new book, Rage. In the recordings from February and March, Trump can be heard acknowledging how dangerous and deadly the coronavirus could be, but that he wanted to downplay it publicly, which is exactly what he did. Trump continued holding large rallies into March, where he referred to criticism of his handling of the pandemic as a Democrat hoax, and he refused to wear a mask in public as the CDC had recommended. But as Trump told Woodward on April 13th in private, he was much more cautious.
And Bob, it's so easily transmissible, you wouldn't even believe it.
I know. I mean,
you can be in the room. I was in the White House a couple of days ago, a meeting of 10 people in the Oval Office, and a guy sneezed innocently, not a horrible, you know, yes. Just a sneeze. The entire room bailed out, okay, including me, by the way.
Trump has been holding, but just held an indoor rally in Nevada on Sunday, at which there was no social distancing and very little use of masks. Woodward has spoken about his belief that Trump has failed the American people with his handling of the coronavirus, and he does believe that Trump's actions over the past several months will not be looked back upon favorably. It's pretty obvious.
The narcissism of it all is just unreal to me.
Well,
and sit down with Bob Woodward. Let's just think Watergate, Bob Woodward, to sit down and have over the phone these conversations that are recorded and to speak so freely in a way that's contradictory to every lie you're telling the American people in real time, and to tell us how dangerous it is to tell Bob Woodward that while he's lying to us about it. Just, I can't wrap my brain around it.
I mean, I just want to know what Trump has to say now that the audio is coming out and is being, you know, premiered on a late show.
Well, he and his team were denying parts of it the other day. I'm like, it's you talking.
Of course it
is. You're acting like that's not what you meant. Oh, I was joking.
And honestly, you can't really even edit it. The audio sounds pretty smooth, so.
You don't need to.
Yeah.
It's his voice.
All right, well, in other news, Louisville's metro government is expected to announce a substantial financial settlement Tuesday with the family of Breonna Taylor, the 26-year-old black woman fatally shot by police in her apartment 6 months ago. The settlement is expected to be announced at a 2 p.m. press conference at Mayor Greg Fisher's office. The settlement amount has not been disclosed, but it is expected to dwarf the biggest payout previously made by police, according to a person knowledgeable about the details who said he could not be identified. In addition to the payment, the deal is expected to include several policing reforms, including a requirement that commanders approve all search warrants before they go to the judge. Now, a large settlement in the civil suit brought by Taylor's family comes as a Jefferson County grand jury may actually screen the criminal case as soon as this week. The grand jury would decide whether criminal charges should be filed against any of the three officers involved in her shooting death March 13th during a search for drugs, cash, and other evidence in her South End apartment that went awry. March 13th, we've been doing this. We've been in this fight since March 13th. And I'll tell you what, I don't care how much money you wanted me to settle for. If you're not willing to arrest the officers that came in and shot my baby, my wife, my somebody so
my
close to me.
My friend. Anybody.
I'm not going to sit down quietly. I don't want your money. I want you to give me justice, to give her justice.
They deserve justice and their money.
That's infuriating, honestly. It's just not an answer. All right, finishing up today in news, Apple will unveil new versions of its older products today and potentially show off some new ones as well. The biggest difference, this will be the first Apple product reveal in the phone iPhone era that won't be done before an adoring audience. Instead, the event will feature pre-recorded demos over a two-hour time frame. The company is expected to introduce updated iPads, Apple Watches, possible AirPod over-the-ear headphones, and Apple's take on the Tile Bluetooth key finder. I gotta get that key finder. I never know where my keys are.
You never
Do you have one?
I don't.
I think it's good.
You know what, though? A few months ago, when we were sort of like renovating our home, we found this really cute key hanger that we attached to the wall by the front door. It's adorable.
Where you put your little masks.
Yeah,
now.
I do that too, and then my partner never hangs his keys there. He puts them on the counter.
It
drives
me
crazy.
That's literally me.
Happy
That's
anniversary, honey.
All right, it's going to be a high of 107 in Palm Springs today, 93 in Houston, 82 in Kansas City, 87 in Miami, and 69 in San Francisco. Now hit us with a vibe of the day.
Keep your face to the sunshine, and you cannot see a shadow.
I think that's really great. That's really a good vibe of the day, taking us into our final hour. Now, coming up, Dr. James joins us to talk about super spreader events, and also will changing airplane designs help us stay safe when traveling? We'll be back in 2 minutes.
We've got Dr. James back on the line, one of our dear friends here at Channel Q, talking about super spreaders. James, thank you so much for being here. Don't mind the construction going on in the background.
Yeah, nothing going on here.
Nobody's drilling.
Right, right. Pounding.
Just drilling a wall.
And I've got a lawnmower in the back of mine, too, I think. So, you know, welcome to doing radio in the middle of a pandemic.
Fantastic. All right, so let's talk about these super spreader events. There's a case of 161 cases. From two outbreaks, inundate a nursing home and a jail, all came out of a pastor officiating a wedding recently in Maine. The pandemic's still going on, correct?
Yeah. I'm not sure if people have heard the pandemic's going on. And there are places like Europe, which had controlled the pandemic very well, and now their numbers are going back up because they had reopened. So you're right, AJ, there's still a pandemic.
I love that there's an ambulance happening behind you as well, because if this interview is not 2020 at its finest, construction, ambulance, working from home, because it's a good reminder for people that are listening. Stop going to weddings. Stop doing things where you're not being responsible. It's spreading. I mean, we also talked about last week's surges, how those numbers were absolutely insane. But as we're going into Halloween, we're talking pumpkin patches. We're talking that people can still trick or treat.
Halloween parties.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Isn't that something? I mean, this is really going to be the hot topic coming up. And actually, interestingly, Michaela, I'm leaving the hospital. I work the night shift. So you guys are getting me at my bright-eyed
yes.
bushy tail.
Wow.
Which is the ambulance. And I will remind people, after being in the hospital and managing COVID patients overnight, this thing is very real. It's still here. And we just have to keep doing the things that we think we should be doing, including when it comes to Halloween. So, no, it's not going to be a good idea for your kiddos and you to be around all of the neighbors and be going in and out and up to the door of other people's houses and being that close to each other. I don't care what type of masks you have on. So we got to figure out a different way to do Halloween.
Now, whether you disagree or not, my niece is not vaccinated. She's 4 years old. She came to L.A. to stay with me for a couple of days. We had a blast. But with COVID being really serious, how do you, how would you navigate children or people who are not vaccinated and sort of trying to continue on in the world during a pandemic?
Not vaccinated against like typical childhood vaccination stuff? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that, I mean, that actually probably concerns me a little bit more for those individuals, because those vaccinations, whether you believe in them or not, those vaccinations do have really good data about building the immune system in general. So we've kind of talked about this before, about making sure that immune system is really, really, really robust. And so if you're vaccinated against other things, your body sort of learns how to fight viruses, including COVID-19. Now, obviously, as you guys know, we don't worry about the impacts of COVID-19 on kiddos as much, but we are starting to get more evidence that kids can spread it as easily as adults. So our worry is, in someone who's not vaccinated, okay, her immune system might not be as robust as another kiddo's, so she could be more susceptible to bad results, and then also she's going to be able to pass it on if she were to get it to adults almost as easily as adults, is what we're starting to find.
Well, speaking of vaccinations, I've seen a lot of, like, I see them at Ralph's, I see it at CVS, a lot of different pharmacies offering free flu shots right now, but might not necessarily be the best time to get a flu shot. Why?
I think any time is a good time to get a flu shot, but to your point, you may actually need, if you get the flu shot kind of this early, you may need to get a booster flu shot. And so, you know, sort of the argument, because the flu shot is kind of a timing thing. It really only lasts about 4-ish months. Mm. And so you kind of want to time it right so that you're covering yourself during the bulk of flu season. If you're young and able-bodied and it's easy for you to get to a provider or a CVS or someplace like that that gives flu shots, you can get one now. And then you can get one again in like January if you feel like you need to. Otherwise, we're kind of telling people, use November 1st as a guideline. Try to get your shot by November 1st. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
All right. Well, Dr. James, we want to continue this conversation.
Planes.
Will planes, yeah, they're changing their designs. Will it be beneficial or is it sort of a waste of money? We'll talk to you coming up in 2 minutes.
We're joined again by Dr. James, talking all things COVID. We came across an article this week that showed possible redesigns of airplane seating because of this pandemic. There's a lot of plexiglass involved, Dr. James. Does this make sense? Is this the thing in the future, or is it just a waste of money?
Waste of money.
Yes.
Thank you.
Waste of money. But here's why. This might be sort of an interesting conversation for folks. Long story short, if you start adding weight to a plane,
yes.
And I need to pause here. I am not an aviation expert, by the way.
No. I want to back
my
you.
Cousin is, Well, my cousin is a pilot, and I actually talked to him about this before, and I was like, okay, what's going on with all of the, you know, are we changing seats? Are we doing all that? And he was like, weight is such a sensitive thing on planes, even big commercial planes, that we don't really, as passengers, think about. So if you start adding a bunch of plexiglass, moving seats around, doing all these other things, that has to be retested for its crash safety. You have to redo the weight distribution, all these other things. It would take months and months and months, if not years. And because we're so close to a vaccine, it's going to be a waste of money to try to do it.
Well,
now,
it's so funny that you say that, because a friend of mine is in the plexiglass business. And when this very first started, you know, he helps create a lot of the plexiglass in the cabs in Vegas. And he was looking at possibly doing it on the planes as well. And then he said, Michaela, it's just way too heavy. It's not realistic at all. And so that's not the way to go. So I'm happy that you said that, because I was wondering that, too, if it would be a weight issue. However, if a vaccine does not happen until next year, what are the chances of people being able to start traveling again?
Well, so interestingly, and I have gotten a little bit of flack and a little bit of support for this, but traveling is on an airplane. The airplane itself is not as dangerous as you think it is. The air on airplanes is mixed with new air and a little bit of recycled air, but the entire plane is refiltered about every 3 minutes. So every 3 minutes, you're breathing new air in a plane. So because we know this is droplet and aerosolized particles as the primary means of transmission, if you're wearing your mask and they're giving you new air through these awesome HEPA filters every 3 minutes, being on the actual plane itself is really safe. We have very, very little evidence of the little evidence we've been able to do, right? Because remember, the virus hasn't even been around a year yet. But the little bit of evidence we have shows that there are minuscule amount of cases tied to actually being contracted on a plane. Where airline travel is dangerous is in the airports.
Well, yeah, you gave us that advice before we went to Mexico a few weeks ago. And on the way there, we are fine and dandy. On the way back, we had to wait in lines, go through customs. And that's where it started to get a little bit tricky for me. Mm-hmm. I will say I've flown twice now, both domestically and internationally. And the flights were not a problem.
Yeah.
I felt like everybody was respectful. Everybody had a mask on. The entire flight crew had a mask on. They hand you hand sanitizer and wipes as soon as you walk in. They give you all your food and water and drinks in little baggies so that everything is sanitized. This idea, I saw this plexiglass story, James, and I was like, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I could fly again if I'm 6'5", I'd feel claustrophobic even if it was clear. And when I fly, oftentimes I fly with my partner and we like to cuddle. We lift up the armrest in between us and he rests on my arm while we fly. I don't want to piece of plexiglass.
I know. Well, that's awful too. You know, if you're traveling with your significant other, it is really nice, especially if you're going on vacation together.
I saw one of the configurations, James. I don't know if you saw this photo, but one of them, one of the options was having the two outside seats facing forward and the middle seat facing backwards. I'm not trying to fly backwards.
Ew, that sounds weird to me. No.
Exactly. Well, and it was probably a very valiant effort early on, right? It was probably like, all right, we're going to come up with a solution. It's going to be great. But the more we've learned about this virus, the more we learn, like, fomite is the medical research term for this, like picking up a disease by touching something, like the particles that get on surfaces and stay there. This doesn't really happen from that. You have to have a really high viral concentration of COVID. Someone has to sneeze on that table or whatever, then you touch it right after they sneeze and then like put your finger in your eye. That's not the only way it's happening via touch. This is really pretty strictly respiratory particles and aerosolization. So if you wear your mask and you do your best to stay away from folks, or when you're on a plane, you've got an awesome HEPA filter, you're good to go.
So I can start biting my nails now for the first time in my life and digging into my eyes. Got it.
Dr. James, we appreciate you so much. We know you're coming from the night shift. Thank you for working as hard as you do and being such a huge part of Channel Q. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
All right, now coming up, firefighters from Guanajuato are arriving to help Oregon blazes, and we have all those details in Tell Me Something Good coming up next.
Tell me something good.
I'll tell you something good, Michaela Gordon. Ready for this?
Tell me everything good.
Our neighbors up north, you know who that could be?
Who?
Who's up north? Like way north.
I don't know. Santa in the North Pole? Whom?
Canada.
Canada.
Our
that
Canadian
makes
sense. Neighbors up north just reported zero deaths from COVID-19 for the first time since March. This is such a 2020 story that we're excited to share good news that people aren't dying somewhere today, which is fantastic. But they've basically eradicated it for now. They're not seeing any sort of spikes happening, you know, that could come back in the fall. Hope it does not. Right now, they've tested over 6 million people for COVID-19 with a 2.1% tested positive rate. They did report new cases just the other day, about 702 new cases, according to their Agency of Health in Canada. But no deaths, which is a good sign. It seems like some nations are better than others when it comes to getting this thing under control. And if we could maybe just pay a little bit of attention to those up north, we might do a little better here in the United States. But it definitely gives me hope.
Absolutely. Okay, well, this story is amazing. You know, Trump has been just awful to Mexico. He's wanted to build the wall. He wanted Mexico to have to pay for the wall. But this is where humanity really comes in. As we know, the wildfires have been absolutely out of control, particularly in Southern Oregon. We've seen photos. It looks like a scene out of a movie. And so there were some incredible men that wanted to come from Guanajuato, Mexico, to help step in and set up shop in Southern Oregon to help contain these raging blazes. Now, they're known as the Heroic Fire Department of Guanajuato. The squad hails from a city in central Mexico that has been a sister city to the town of Ashland, Oregon for the last 50 years.
Aww.
So it's not totally crazy, but these amazing men showed up, six of them, with their mayor, Alejandro Navarro, and
the mayor even came.
The mayor even came, and they got started, and they were very moved by the terrible impact of the fire on the families and their homes, and they wanted to help, and they are there helping really contain this fire. And everybody's just very touched.
I think that's fantastic. Listen, the Bible talks about turning the other cheek. And we've been slapping one cheek of the Mexican people for so many years. Our government has, and they're turning the other cheek and they're saying, "Listen, we're still here for you."
Yeah,
and that's how you do it.
Absolutely.
We were just in Mexico recently, you and I, and the people every single time
incredible.
I go, unlike any other place on the planet, the people are so kind.
I agree,
and just so loving and full of life and culture. That is a beautiful story.
Yes.
Well, a medical researcher has won an award for a groundbreaking procedure that could cure blindness. He's Hungarian. I'll let him explain it to you because he's the researcher. Take it away.
The retina is a biological computer made of 100 different parts. And it is very difficult to repair a computer. So we don't repair a photoreceptor layer, we have to repair a computer. And we have to understand the parts of this computer and come up with ways that really benefits the patients.
His name is Botond Roszka. He's landed a $1.18 million check from Germany's Körber Foundation for a gene-based treatment to restore sight. It's already entered clinical trials. This is really interesting. He talks about the eyeball and the retina as a computer.
Wow.
And they're starting to, I think science is really starting to understand the body in different ways. It makes me feel like we're entering an era of like Star Trek where they just scan you and they know how to fix you right
away,
which is totally awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos to him. I hope he uses the money well and advances this research.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, well, that brings us to the end of our show. As always, thank you for listening. We have a great show for you tomorrow. Of course, we're joined by Samuel Garrett-Pate. We're also talking about open marriages and why they might really be beneficial and why they may not.
I'm celebrating my 8th anniversary today and nothing else is open, so maybe we could just open the relationship.
That's perfect.
My partner's listening. He's now mad. I'm never going to hear the end of this.
He's not going to talk to you, and hopefully you don't end up in a divorce like Kelly Clarkson because she has not been doing well. We're also talking about that. Should you get divorced during a pandemic? I mean, everything's sort of crazy. Do you want to hold on to your stability or not? We have some great conversations. We'll take it to the gram. We want to hear from you. Wear your masks. Wash your hands. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.